Good morning, language lovers. How are you all today? Thank you for being here at Love, Joy, and Languages, your podcast about loving languages and finding joy in learning them. I am Heidi, and today I'm bringing you the first interview of the season. I am delighted to share this conversation I had with French language coach Angèle Préteaux of French Fluency. I practiced his name so many times before recording because French pronunciation is not my forte, but he said I can also call him Angel. So I first learned of Angel's work in an interview he had with Lindsay Williams of Lindsay Does Languages, which I've linked in the show notes. And this led me to Angel's work guiding French learners to fluency with manifestation. Manifesting is one of those very trendy words these days, I know. And while there are many, many different explanations and thoughts about what manifesting is and how it works, there are also many misconceptions about it as well, especially when it comes to language learning. Because really, I don't hear a lot of people in language learning spaces talking about manifesting and how we can use the power of our brains to bring the language to us and align ourselves better with our language goals. Now, I will say right now, before you turn off this episode and think I've gone mad, manifesting in language learning is not, I repeat, is not thinking your language into existence. It isn't simply thinking about your language and voila, you speak it. I need to say this because I know a lot of people have the idea that manifesting is nothing more than thinking something into existence. But that's why I wanted to bring Angel onto the show to break this down for us, talk about what manifesting is and how we can harness it to take inspired action in our language lives that leads to the language outcome we desire. I enjoyed this conversation with Angel so much, and I hope you all do as well. I hope you get something out of it, including some very practical tips for how you can strengthen your language learning by implementing manifesting techniques to unlock the power of your brain. So, now over to my chat with Angèle Préteaux. Welcome to the show, Angel. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm really excited to talk with you.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me. This will be great.
Give us a bit of an introduction to yourself and specifically what brings you to the language learning community.
Oh, so I'm French. I'm lived in France for the first 25 years of my life, and then I moved to different German-speaking countries. I am a French learning coach. I believe I am actually the person who created this profession, or at least this job title, because back when I created it about 8 years ago, there was like one or two English learning coaches or, you know, English language coaches, but there was no language coach of other languages that I knew of. But there were coaches for everything. I mean, I knew a parenting coach and a career coach and like whatnot. And I was like, yeah, why would I not be a French learning coach? I am trained as a French teacher. I have a master's degree in language teaching, French teaching specifically. But I figured that, in fact, it's something that I also learned at university, that you can't really teach a language, you can only learn it. And so the job of a teacher is to facilitate the learning, not to forcefully teach something to someone, because it doesn't work, especially with languages. So really the person who facilitates the transformation in someone else is a coach, right? So I thought it made just more sense to call it that and to focus on the fact that I'm not really just speaking about the language, which I'm pretty good at doing. I'm very good at info dumping about languages on people. Thank you for having me do that right now. But really my job is to take a person who is not satisfied with their current French skills, maybe because they're a complete beginner and they want to actually speak French, or maybe because they're somewhere along the journey and not going forward, and then just taking them or walking with them to where they want to be. So to the picture that they can see of them speaking French in their next job or moving to France and, you know, living there with no problem, these kind of things.
That is a really excellent, excellent introduction. I mean, we could go off on a totally other topic about teaching and how, especially in language learning in the beginning, if you've never done it before, it's so easy to want the language to just come to you. Someone give me the language. And a lot of times we see teachers as that, the one who's going to put it into my head. But you're right. The teachers are there to guide and shape and show how to discover the information that needs to be in the brain.
Yeah, it really doesn't work this way. And it's great that you point out that, especially if you've never done it before, because my specialty is teaching French to English speakers. And the majority of the people I work with learn French as their second language. And because they're English speakers, they've never really needed to learn a language before that point in their life. And sometimes they are 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. So they have very, very used to speaking English to the point that they don't actually really realize the process that goes into thinking and then speaking in a language. So getting from that point to the point where you can do it in two languages, if you have spent your entire life, multiple decades doing it in one language, that can be quite the challenge. Versus, if you already speak four languages, to get the fifth one, you probably don't need a coach.
Yeah.
Maybe you can help. You can use the help of a coach because it's always faster. But still, while someone who has only one language is not going to get two just like that because they get Duolingo, unfortunately.
I understand that completely. I started learning Italian at age 33 when we moved to Italy, and that was my experience was okay, this is learning. I'm good at school. I'm going to
Right.
do this. I'm going to get a teacher. They're going to teach me. And yes, teachers teach, but like you said, it's so much more guiding and shaping and guiding the student to finding their own discovery of the language. We learn, I
Yes.
think, more through experience, far more than we do from being given information.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I've had people ask me, like, how did I learn all of my languages that I speak? And how do I, live my life with speaking four languages on a daily basis? That was a few months ago that I had that question. I had a different life at the time. But basically, like, it's all organic. We're speaking English right now. It's the language I use mostly in my profession. French is my native language, so that's two. At the time I was living in Vienna, that's a German-speaking city, so that's three. And my partner was a Spanish speaker, so that was four, right? And it's organic like that. You can also like add them on purpose if you want, but then you have to just make sure to add a lot of that language in your life. That's why I always recommend the daily French bath and just to like engage with the language on a daily basis, because that's how your brain is going to understand that this language is here now. And it's going to be part of your life, and you have to use it.
So speaking of training the brain, that's an excellent segue because the big reason I invited you here today was to talk specifically about manifesting in languages. And I'll give our
Yes.
listeners a little background. You had an interview with Lindsay Williams on her podcast, How to Learn a Language. And you talked about, I think it was like your four steps, seven steps. I should know
Yes,
this by now. I looked
four.
at it earlier. Four steps to learning any language. Very fascinating. But then right after that, Lindsay had a grab bag option where lots of language teachers and stuff provided some material for free that people could go and grab. And I grabbed your Manifesting French Fluency program as part of that grab bag because I love the idea of manifesting. I've read a lot about it. It has so much to do with our mindset and how we view the life in front of us, view the goals and the challenges we have, and how we even view our past. And I would love to learn French one day. It's not my current, but I said, okay, it's manifesting. So whatever he has to say is also going to apply to other languages.
Absolutely.
So I really, really enjoyed that. And as soon as I finished, I said, I've got to have this guy on the show. We have to talk about this because I don't know personally any other people out there talking about manifesting with respect to language learning. I know a lot of people say, you can't do that. You can't think about a language and it just comes to you. That's not possible. So we're going to dig down today into talking about what manifesting is with respect to languages, what it's not, and hopefully be able to give a bit of practical advice for anyone wanting to add this layer to their language journey. Start us off then down this path of telling us what manifesting is, just in general.
So manifesting is nothing more than basically setting a goal and achieving it. And that's a very straightforward way of looking at it. I know a lot of people say, oh, you can't just think of a language and it comes to you. It's probably a bit of a weird way to put it. I would rather say, yeah, manifesting is setting a goal and achieving it consciously. Like not just, taking whatever that comes to you in your life, but actually set out to go get a degree, go get a job, like get a new place, have a kid, I don't know, go on a vacation, anything.
So having something that you want to do, to have, to achieve,
Yes.
and putting it into action, making it happen.
I think everybody does it. It's just that only some people call it manifesting. The people who call it manifesting tend to be much more conscious about all of the steps, or perhaps all of the aspects that are involved in it. Because you can set out to get a job and just, send a bunch of CVs and have a bunch of interviews, and hopefully you do get the job. But you can also be like, okay, what are the mental blocks that would stop me from getting that job? For example, if you're a woman, that's a relatively straightforward example. I assume you have a lot of listeners that are women. So I'm taking this one simple, like, level. It's harder to get a job if you're a woman in many industries, just because of, how society is, right? So if you're a manifester, you might think, okay, I know there is this block that exists. I know that women can get the kind of job that I want, but I might have more difficulties than a man. And what step can I take to, like, compensate these kind of things?
So it's definitely very much a level of consciousness about how we're viewing, approaching, and acting on a situation or
Yes.
acting on what we want. So with respect to languages, when you talk about mental blocks, the first thing that comes to my mind is I can't learn a language. Even as I've been learning Italian for almost 7 years now, and even as I'm actively learning it, actively using it, having deep conversation with friends, using the subjunctive at that, I still have this tiny little voice in the back of my head that's like, eh, you're not really doing it. You still can't really do it. And how many times along this journey has that stopped me from engaging in a conversation with someone or emailing someone without first going to Google Translate? It's that mental block of I can't do it that leads to the action of jumping into a conversation or turning around and going the other way, for example.
Well, first, I want to address the I can't do it block, because I don't think you can ever really get rid of it completely. And sometimes, like, the example you give is a really prime example, because you're actually doing it and still thinking you can't do it. We are terrible at evaluating our actual language capacity. I have been in conversations with people where we spoke about it afterwards, and both of us felt like we were struggling and the other person was great. Like, th this cannot be accurate, that I suck and the other person is great. The other person feels that they suck and I'm great. Like, the truth is at least somewhere in the middle, or maybe we're both great. So there's that. It's good perhaps to try to get a second opinion, and an opinion of someone who's not being biased against you. Because also, like, language teachers have a history of not being super supportive, particularly French teachers or teachers in the French school system. I mean, I've been told that my English is terrible by my university teachers, and it wasn't better than it is now. My accent isn't great. I don't care. I do my entire life in English, okay? Like it works. Like, sometimes I say I built a whole business in English just to spite them.
I love it. I love
So yeah, you keep feeling like you can't. And I have lots of complexes about my languages, even about my English, but I'm doing it, so I probably can, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, this idea of having the goal and achieving it, which is your definition of manifesting, would you say this, the idea of like identifying your mental blocks and working with them, working against them, working to overcome them is a tool or a step in manifesting? How would you describe that with respect to manifesting?
I did not really make it a step in my manifesting process, because it was only 4 steps, so I didn't have that many. It's selection, activation, immersion, and safe practice. And in fact, it's when I narrowed down those 4 steps that I realized that it looks a lot like the manifesting processes that, like, other people, like, for example, Denise DeFilo Thomas, I think she has a 5-step manifesting process. And it's almost like exactly the same thing. And that's when it came to me that, oh, you can actually manifest a language. And then I was doing my French Fluency Accelerator program. And at that time, the students were voting for the new workshops, because we were building the library. And the moment that I wrote that I could maybe make a workshop about manifesting French fluency, they just voted massively for that workshop. And so the month after that, I had to create it. And in that workshop, you know, because you've taken it, because I've broken it apart, and it can be bought on my website separately, or it was part of the language learner goodie bag at the time that you got it. I also mentioned that one of the techniques that can be used for manifesting is energy clearing. And so energy clearing is much more of a technique that is to address mental blocks. I do have a small video about energy clearing for language learning on my YouTube channel. So if you type like my name and energy clearing, you'll find it. And then I have a whole workshop about it too on the French Fluency Accelerator, because I said that in the manifesting workshop that you took, that we could maybe make another one for energy clearing, because that workshop was already 2 hours and a half, and I could not possibly explain energy clearing in that. And guess what? Next month, I just put energy clearing on the list. And again, they all vote massively for it, so I have to do it. So I did it. And yes, addressing mental block can be a step, I guess, in the manifesting process. I do consider it more to be like just something you're aware of. And, you know, like I can't learn languages. Maybe sometimes I can't learn anything, because if you have had bad experiences when you were in school, it might not have been about languages, but it might just like cross over. And then you have things like, I'm not good enough to speak a language, like all the versions of I'm not good enough, or I'll never be as good as a native, which is super weird, because how many natives do you know who speak their native language horribly, right? Like, there's like, of course, if you're a beginner right now, you're not speaking like any native, but after like a couple of years of really committing to a language, you might speak better than most natives. It's really not that hard. There are a lot of people who don't put a lot of involvement in their native language.
Yes. When you talk about energy clearing, can you give like a 2 minute or 1 minute? What is energy clearing for anyone who's never heard that term before?
Okay, in 1 or 2 minutes, it's pretty hard, but
2.5.
there are just a lot of ways to address it. But if you think of it in terms of psychology, you can have mental blocks, and that's something that people who are into psychology understand that, even if they're not into manifesting or energy clearing. I find that energy clearing is the easiest way to address mental blocks, because it's very easy to visualize them as like energy being stuck somewhere. And even if you think like, okay, that's not how the brain works, or whatever, it still is a good tool to just imagine it this way. Like, our brains are super powerful, and sometimes like what we imagine is the truth for us. I hope that helps.
It does, absolutely. It really makes me think too about like just on a practical day-to-day language study level. If I come into my study session and even if I don't have any active mental blocks, like I know I can do this, I know what I'm sitting down to study, I know what I'm doing and I'm getting into it. If I don't start this session in the right mindset, in the mindset of the language, it's not going to be very effective. And even if like I said, I know exactly what I'm going to study, and I know I'm on this path to get to my B2 exam, which I just applied for this morning, literally
Ooh, congrats.
moments before this. Pretty excited, but I know exactly what I'm going to do. If I have had a fight with my husband the night before, yelled at my kids the night before, or didn't get enough sleep, or have work on my mind, trying to think about what I'm going to make for dinner that day, anything that's not language learning, niggling in the back of my mind, I'm not going to have the right energy, the right clearing for that study session to make the most of that study session. And in fact, a lot of the things that I learned in that session will just go away because my mind is already full of the other things. So even for someone who doesn't understand or care about or believe in energy clearing, getting the mind in the right place before you sit down with a language makes a huge difference. And I'll actually give a quick shout out, which I did a few episodes ago, to Simone Poles. He is the host of Simple Italian Podcast, and I did a coaching program with him for 1 month, very specifically on Italian. And he had meditations for me to do at each week. He recorded a meditation, and I did it every morning, like 10 minute meditation first thing before I even sit down to do Italian. And it's in Italian, which is great because it got my mind in the language, and it just got me focusing on clarity, calm, peace. And as soon as I come out of the meditation, I say, okay, I'm ready to work. I'm in the right place. I'm going to make it happen.
Yes, I'm glad you shouted him out, because I have never heard of someone else who does meditation for language learning. I did some too. You can find them on my YouTube channel. I did a couple, and there's one that's half French, half English, because it's about quantum jumping to start thinking in French. And so quantum jumping is a technique that I personally loved. It was created by Bert Goldman, but unfortunately I don't think he spoke any other language than English, so he made quantum jumping for lots of things but never for language learning. I was like, that's a terrible gap in the quantum jumping knowledge. I'm gonna fill it. And so I made quantum jumping to meet your French self, so like to basically meet the future you who speaks French. And then one day I figured, hey, like, let's put that to the test and see if I can make one that will make people think in French. And so the idea is that you go to like an alternative world where your twin self, so another version of you, exists, and that other version of you has the quality that you want. So speaking French, or, you know, making more money, or being like organized, or whatever. And then you merge with that self, and then you bring back that quality into your real world. So I was like, if your twin self is thinking in French, when you merge, the track must be in French. So you get into the meditation, it's in English. And the moment that you merge with your twin self, then the track is in French, and it's in French until the end. And that is something that you can use before your French learning session.
I just got goosebumps listening to that. So that sounds like super powerful visualization. It's visualization, but even bigger, because I've used visualization techniques to not just imagine myself in the future, but like literally holding the piece of paper that says I passed my exam. Sitting in a cafe with a friend who only speaks Italian, a very specific friend. I have one in mind. I know what she looks like. I know her sound of her voice. And having time to visualize sitting and speaking and all the feelings I'll have having these deep conversations with this person who I adore and bringing all of that in just kind of a meditative visualization to me. And again, it puts you in the right place. And then it sets forth actions that are going to allow me to reach that point in my life. But here, it's even more, you're bringing that future into the present. Oh, that's
That is
fascinating.
the whole point of that technique.
Can you give us, because I've never heard of this, I've never heard of quantum jumping. What happens in this transition from trying to bring that visual future into the present? Is it just like a decisive moment where you're imagining time going backwards and it becomes the now?
No, I mean, in that particular technique, it's not, you're not doing that. Like, you're really just like getting into a meditation. So going basically down a staircase, which is representing going lower into the brainwaves. And then there's a door to the other universe. So you open that door and you jump into that other universe. And in that universe, your twin self is there. So you just observe them, you know, for a while, and then you merge with them, like just bring your, not your real body, of course, like your imagined body into the body of your, and you become that person. They are you anyway, so it's not that different to like merge you with you, right? But like if you do it well, at least when I do it, you do feel a shift in your energy. Like at that moment, I really like the merging moment. You feel that the energy is shifting if you're good at feeling the energy in yourself, and then you take the door again and you go up the staircase and you open your eyes and you're back in your world and you have brought that energy to you. It's not super long lasting, to be honest, because then you start living your real life, right? Not the life that your twin self has. So you might have to do it a bit every day or every week, but you do get results.
That's really interesting. So for anyone else who's listening and thinking, okay, meditation, visualization, quantum jumping, different. Never heard of it. Pretty cool though. What else can I do? What's something practical I can do when I'm sitting down with my language or just going about my day-to-day? What's something practical that I can do to maximize this manifesting idea, this manifesting energy? To be on the right path to bringing this language into my life.
Oh, there are so many things. I think in that workshop there are 15 techniques. I don't think I could quote all 15 off the top of my head.
Give us a couple of your favorites.
It ranges from you can make a vision board. I always have at least one vision board. I did realize recently that if your home or the place where your vision board is messy, it doesn't work as well. So making a vision board and having it on like a clear wall, and looking at it, that really helps. Which is interesting because the language is not supposed to be that visual. But you know, if your dream is to like go on a vacation to Paris and do all of the French stuff, you can put that on a vision board. You can also add French elements to your vision board that you already have if you have one. And so that's one thing that's super woo-woo, right? And but then you have things that are very practical. Like if you play video games, put the settings to French. Just set it to French and just keep playing with everything in French. Have some French music in the background. Listen to French podcasts, and then you get into the more like usual kind of like language learning advice, right? But all of that is sort of on the continuum of the stuff you can do to bring about your language skills. So, and if you don't want to think of it as manifesting, fine, don't, but just these are techniques you can use to help learn a language.
Yes, you're taking the action to make the language part of your life, and
Yes.
eventually you get to the point where that language is a part of your life. You have done the
Yes.
actions that make it come true.
I mean, at some point when you're like watching shows and playing your video games in the language and joining some like I don't know, online classes in the language and meeting with your friends who speak the language and speaking with like, yeah, that's it. You've done it. It's just little by little, just adjust things to like, it's like, I don't know, if you want to change your decoration, you will swap every element one at a time, right? It's like that.
Something else that I don't have a vision board, but I do a lot of visualization, just imagining things in front. But for someone who does want to bring that to life on a vision board, something else that I've heard and read about that I really enjoy kind of thinking about is even something as much as like, if you can get a screenshot of what, I don't know, Instagram or Twitter or X look like and have your name there and a tweet that you put out in your language saying, I passed this exam. I moved to this country. I just got my visa. Those things that you want to happen in your life surrounding the language or whatever it is, make it something that you can literally see yourself talking about in the future and put that picture of an Instagram post that one day you're going to make up on your vision board. Have it
Yeah,
there.
that works so very well. And since you mentioned social media like Twitter and Instagram, like your favorite platform, you need to follow French or like your target language accounts. Especially if you tend to doom scroll like a lot of us do, at least doom scroll something that's going to speak to you in different languages or in the language that you want to learn, because it's relatively low effort. You know, just don't scroll away when you see it, right? Just like stay on that, maybe watch them a couple of times so the algorithm learns that, oh, this person speaks this language, even if you don't, because then it will bring you some more and, you know, it will just come in little by little.
People talk about manifesting. Usually we talk about the universe, but some higher being, some higher energy that's bringing all the connections, all the vibes, all the vibrations that you're on in life, putting you on the vibration of other things that are on the same vibration. And it might sound silly to anyone who either doesn't believe or doesn't care, but hear me out. Even when it comes to social media, there might be something I see on social media that I don't understand a word in Italian or a word in German, and all of a sudden I'm seeing it everywhere. Or a word that I hear in a podcast. This happened to me recently, a word that I read in German, and I immediately knew what it was because it's one of those long words that's several words put together. I'd never heard it before, but close enough to English that I could figure it out. And I've never heard this word in Italian in 7 years of learning Italian. And the very next day I read it there. And then the very next day I heard it on a podcast. And then the very next day I saw it on social media. I'm like, this is a word I obviously need to know. And there's, I don't know what the theory is called, but people talk about it often. Like, if you say you never see a red car, then all of a sudden you're going to start seeing red cars everywhere. It brings it to light. But that's exactly what we're doing. When we're consciously noticing what's in front of us, our brain is consciously saying, this is important. I need to start seeing that. And we can use that to our advantage in languages. When we're consciously noticing words, we are going to hear them and see them more often, which brings you that natural repetition that you need to have it in your brain.
Yes, that is in my four-step process, actually. It's step two that you're describing. So the four steps are selection, activation, immersion, and safe practice. So the first step being selection is basically like you can do selection as a visualization. Like visualize you doing the things you want to do in your language. And then, you know, you can journal it. And I use the things called the roadmap to fluency, which you write down all of the things that you're doing and then you manifest those things. Then activation is basically picking something that you've selected and consciously like learning that thing. Sometimes like the way that you describe it, it happens not necessarily consciously because you found the new word in like social media and then you keep seeing it. So like you had it activated for you, but you can also do it on purpose. And there's this theory that there is a sort of process I don't know if it's a part of the physical brain, maybe not, but there's a process that's called reticular activation system, which means that basically you only see what you can imagine already. So if you consciously focus on something, you will be seeing that thing everywhere, like a red car. But things that you can't imagine, you can never see them. Like, for example, a lot of people believe that there are only two genders and they will never see someone that does not have the two genders that they believe in. But if you don't believe that, you will see those people. And yet we all live in the same world and we see the same people, but we just see them differently.
That makes complete sense. And it really makes me think of specifically when you're learning your first languages, well, your first learned language aside from one you grew up with, you hear things and they don't quite make sense. And then some, you start becoming aware of things, but maybe you can't use them. And then you become more aware of more things and you start being able to use things. And particularly for me with the subjunctive, because that's just, it's really difficult for English speakers to
Yes.
understand subjunctive and then of course conjugating and learning how to use it and when to use it.
I made a whole
And I'm
workshop about subjunctive.
thank you, because every learner needs the subjunctive workshop. But I think I'm starting to kind of master it now. I don't know that anyone ever masters it, but I'm starting to get comfortable. I know when to expect to hear it or expect to read it. I can use it in some situations, but in my mind, I think I went all these years and it was there in front of me. The subjunctive was there. I was hearing it. I was reading it. I didn't know that that's what I was seeing. Someone aware of the language at a higher level knows that's what they're seeing, knows that's what they're doing. And so as we're starting to pay attention to these things and starting to notice little intricacies of language too, especially when you get to intermediate, upper intermediate, probably even far more advanced, you start noticing ways that sentences are structured that maybe you never quite noticed why they do it that way before. But now that you have so much more awareness of the lower level and the intermediate stuff, all of these other tiny things that you didn't realize were right in front of your face all of a sudden start coming to light. And there's even more to take in and to learn and to enjoy about the language.
There's always another level if you want to. It's a question that people ask me in like their application calls, you know, when they first, because you can book a call with me, it's 30 minutes and we can just speak about your, you know, French study and what I can do to help you. And so like people are considering joining a coaching program and it's a monthly subscription and it's not exactly cheap because it's an investment, right? Like you'd have to do it when you commit. So the question is like, okay, how long is it gonna last? And is there ever an end to it? Fair question. Right. And what I say is that like because they get the impression that like language learning never ends. And to some degree it's true. There's always another layer. If you want to study with me for 10 years, I'm sure there will always be more things that we can learn. We can read more books. We can, you know, we can dive deeper always. But also enough is enough. Like there's a point where you have reached the goal that, of what you want to do with your language, and then you can move on to another part of your life. Because I hate that, but people have more than French in their life. Like every teacher wishes you could just like dedicate your life to that topic, right? But like, I mean, as a coach, like this is a utilitarian endeavor. Some people need to speak French because they have to pass a degree, because they have to get a job, because they have to live in a country. But they don't have to spend the rest of their life from this moment forward getting ever deeper into the language. Like after 6 months to a year, depending on like how ambitious your goal is, you should be able to have it done, and that's it.
This it really brings us full circle to your introduction, about being a teacher and a guide, because I think it was actually Lindsay Williams who says that the sign of a good teacher is one who knows that the job will actually be done. The student will eventually be able to go out on their own. And even if they don't know all the things, they know where to go. They know how to work through their limiting beliefs, through their mindset blocks. They have the tools to be able to do it alone. Come back for coaching, come back for guidance as new things come up. But that's what you want in a coach, in a teacher, as someone who gives you the tools you need to keep going forward. Something else that I thought of too, I feel like I heard you speaking on another podcast about this. It's something about visualizing or manifesting even a particular word. When, and we all come across this, you're speaking or you're writing or you're just thinking, and there's a word that you know, but it's not coming to you. Tip of your tongue, but it doesn't come. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't come in any language and you're just left with a blank mind. But something that I've started to kind of think about is literally manifesting the word, sitting there, visualizing the thing, if it's a noun, it's something that I can visualize, or visualize myself. Sometimes I know where I was when I heard that word. There's a word I know. I know it passively because I heard it on a podcast several times, but now I'm trying to produce it and I can't. Envision myself in my car listening to that podcast, listening to the voice of the person who said it. And after seconds, really, it's not like this takes 10 minutes. After seconds, almost always the word finally comes to me. Instead of going to Google Translate and getting the word, I've relived the experience, some experience that brings the word to me. But just another kind of practical thing that can help us bring the language to us instead of always using something else that gives it to us.
It's interesting to have it for a particular word. I don't think I've ever thought of that for just one word, but like there's a thing about lowering your brainwaves, and it's probably what you're doing when you're visualizing or seeing yourself in that situation again. When you're not finding a word or you're somehow in a heightened, a bit stressful situation, it's the stress that is actually blocking you finding the word or you like thinking of the thing you need to think of. Because stress is a really powerful, like disabling force. So if you can find a way to lower it, breathing technique, visualization, just like a very short meditation. Like sometimes you can do 30 seconds meditation if you're very practiced at it, or 10 seconds even. It will really help. So I think that's something about less stress and just generally like getting your brain to relax a bit more. Because when you're relaxed, it works so much better. That's also why I recommend just like watching shows about your interests in French or in the language that you're learning. And really not trying to understand anything, just like checking out. Like even if you fall asleep, that's not that bad, like it's okay. And I don't know like if you can really learn French while you sleep. I once made a video that must have been like 5 years ago about whether you could really learn French while you sleep. It's probably possible, but you would need a really good program for that. But for sure, like when you're more relaxed, you learn more. That's absolutely certain. So
Yeah.
that's a point of relaxing in front of a show. That's you're interested in.
I've never made that connection with what I just described to trying to find a word and just instead of going to Google because that's even if I'm just thinking to myself, that's what it is. It's a moment of higher stress, even if just slightly higher stress, higher panic of I should know this word, and then all the thoughts start coming in. Why don't you know this? This is a basic word or whatever. But instead of taking it, that is probably exactly what I'm doing, is just taking a moment to breathe. In my mind, what was working was sitting and thinking about it, and that probably was, but that simultaneously brought my marginal stress down, and then things flow easier.
It's because you take a pause instead of just like getting into the action of trying to use a tool. And also sometimes Google is not going to help you.
Definitely.
It's nice to have. I don't want to trash talk Google. I use it too. But occasionally it just doesn't do the work.
Yeah. And this is something also that I think a lot of us use without even realizing it, that being able to bring the brainwave and the stress down when we can't find a word, having the presence of mind to be able to describe it instead. It's an excellent tool for language learners practicing speaking. There's some words in Italian that I don't know. I use, quote, use them often, but I always describe them. And in the back of my mind, I say, I really need to write that down so I can try to go back and find that word, but I don't need it because I've been able to, in the moment of stress, describe what I need. But that's what it just takes a moment of pause. I can describe it, even especially if you can visualize something, it's easier to describe as you're actively speaking about it. But I had never thought about what's actually happening to the brain and the body physiologically. Whenever I have that moment of, you can do this, take a moment and get through
Yes,
it.
it's absolutely lowering the stress intentionally to be able to access the resources that you have.
And that's really, it can be really difficult to do. I've talked on my podcast before, many times shared my story of entering into the language learning world when I moved to Italy. Needed to have the language then, and it wasn't there. I literally remember being at the airport after landing saying, I don't know how to say good morning, and going to the internet, to try to figure that out. That's how I started my language journey. And as a perfectionist, I just hit all the negative blocks, doing all the negative things, all the bad mindset along the way. And it took a lot of energy and self-reflection and a bit of healing to be able to get to the point of being okay, not having what I want in the moment, being present and conscious enough to pause and do something else. And sometimes it means abandoning the conversation and say, okay, I can't remember it, so let's do something else. Let's talk about something else. Changing topic, any tactic that's not breaking down and crying in the middle of a conversation helps tremendously.
It's really a practice. I think people who, for example, do a lot of yoga would be prone to do like it would be easier for them to use that also in the process of language learning. But if you're someone who has absolutely no pre-existing contact with just like, awareness of the body, breath, and all of that, it will be very hard for you to get into it. But I strongly recommend it. Unfortunately, it's something that's just not promoted at all in our society. If we really promote just like action, 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 right? Sometimes, like when you do a lot of actions, you do a lot of things wrong, then you have to fix it later. It's much more efficient to take a pause now and just like maybe get it right the first time. See what I mean?
Absolutely. And that has a lot to do too with oh gosh, I've lost my train of thought now. Where did that go?
Yeah, it's okay. I think okay. I'm maybe that's a tangent. But while you're thinking about your thought, one advantage perhaps of thinking of manifesting as opposed to goal setting is that sometimes you have no idea what the steps are from you to your goal. And the fact of setting a goal that you don't know how to achieve it, that will activate your reticular activation system in your brain, and you'll be able to see the steps. So I think what stops a lot of people from goal setting is that they don't know how. If you don't know how, you can still think of it as manifesting and it will come somehow. It doesn't mean that it's magical or that you're just thinking it into existence. Maybe you are. I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't care. It means that, okay, you have to said to yourself or to the universe or to God, whoever you believe in, but at least I hope you believe in yourself. You have said to yourself, okay, I'm going to do that one day as soon as possible. And then you let your brain find the way, because your brain is very powerful, and at least 80% of what you do is subconscious anyway. Like normally you're not thinking of breathing consciously, even though you could. It's just happening, right? And you're not thinking consciously of the digestion of whatever you've eaten last time, right? It's just happening. So most of what you do, you actually don't do on purpose.
That did remind me of what I wanted to say. Whenever you said we often get
Good.
in this process of act, act, act. But often when we're act, act, acting, like that's the subconscious, really. It's or the unconscious. We're not paying attention, we're not present. We're not focusing on what we're doing. And when we're able to stop and be aware and act with purpose, have the goal and know what you want to do, even if sometimes you take some sidesteps or the tool that you thought you were going to work with actually didn't work out. It really isn't for you. Having the consciousness of mind and the awareness to be able to say, okay, this one actually isn't for me. Now I'm going to go the other way instead of continuing to act, act, act with the tool or the method that isn't working, just continually working on the presence of mind throughout your whole journey, knowing that the decisions you're making are with all the information you have, all the feelings you have, all the self-awareness that you have in that moment to be able to take the next step to reaching those goals is really, really powerful. I mean, I spent, I would at least 2 years just kind of floundering in the language. I had programs, I had teachers. But I didn't have any idea what I was doing. And so I was just constantly acting without ever taking a pause to say, what the heck am I doing? And what do I want to do? And where do I want to be? It was just shove the language into your head and it doesn't work.
Yeah, we have a culture of working harder. Like I could go on lots of tangents on theories of what that is, but the fact remains, working harder, like just keep working, work more, work harder. We don't encourage people to think of what they're working on and whether the tools they're using are efficient or not. It's a mistake.
Absolutely.
Just
Absolutely.
instead of working harder, just think of what are you intending to do and what is the easiest way there. And no, you're not lazy, or maybe you are, but I don't care. Like if you achieve something through the easiest mean, the thing is not going to be any less good than if you work 10 times too hard for it. And the kicker is that with language learning, it's just something that you can't force. It's more something to relax into. It's kind of like if you have trouble sleeping and you try to work harder to sleep more. Just, not everything can be achieved by working harder. I'm sorry.
This reminds me of I hope to get this episode out on 15th on Monday. So if I get it out on time, last week's episode I did on when progress isn't helpful, when you're making progress in your language, but it's actually unhelpful. And this is exactly what it makes me think of, is the times when you're just pushing forward, forcing yourself to finish a program or finish a tool or work whatever app, but and you're making some progress, you're learning some things, but you don't want to. You don't enjoy it. You don't really have any, you're just floundering. You don't have a path in place for exactly what you want to do. And you're making progress. You're like, okay, it's working. I have to stick it out. But taking the time to assess that and say, what is my actual goal? Where do I actually want to be? And is this tool getting me there? Because even if the tool says it teaches you up to C2, but you hate doing it every day, it's not going to happen.
Yes, and sometimes the tool is not at all conducive to what you want to do. I mean, the first step in my 4-step process is selection, because what you need to learn is going to be different from what another person needs to learn, especially if you're an adult with your own separate life and you're, as opposed to being a kid who's just trying to get a degree, right? Or like just trying to like get into the next grade. And my pet peeve for that is the names of fruits and vegetables. For some reason, every French book that teaches A1, every beginner French book, 6 or 7 weeks into the process, just has decided that it's now time to go to the market and
Yes.
learn the names of the vegetables.
Every language book out there, I think.
If you're a cook, okay, and I have trained people who have gone on to become, cooks and pastry chefs and just study in France for that, fine. If you're not a cook, if you're like most of my students are either lawyers or a medical profession, okay? Like names of vegetables are completely useless. You can learn them when you're 3 years into the process, because maybe at that point you want to read a cookbook or something. But not right now. Right now, if you're a lawyer, learn about like how do you speak about law to your clients. And if you're a doctor, just learn the body parts.
Exactly.
Why don't people think about that? Like, I feel dumb having to spell out these things. But no, for some reason, vegetable is the way to go.
It's the way to
I don't
go.
get it.
Well, and here's the thing, too. If you do want to learn vegetables and fruits and stuff, because you're going to go to the supermarket in the country, or you have allergies, or you love to cook, it is so much more, in my opinion, so much more powerful and effective to go out and find a YouTube video of a random person living in Italy walking through a supermarket with a camera and look at, read the labels of the things there. Because then you have a visualization. You have an apple that says Mela under it. You have, whatever. You can actually see the things. Or I mean, there's like so many other ways, tools that you can use to bring the language to life.
Even if you need to go to the supermarket, like, have you never been in a country where you don't speak the language at all and been unable to shop? Normally, that doesn't happen, like, especially vegetables, because if you want a carrot, you see a carrot, and it's called something else, but you just grab it and pay for it at the cash. It's harder if you're going to the market and you have to actually ask, which is something
Definitely.
I don't think most French people do it, but for some reason it's associated with French culture.
Italians do. I can see that. That's my favorite thing to do when I go to Italy is the weekly market. I just love it.
Like something that would be more important is if you have a medical issue and you have to go to the doctor, then you will have to talk about it, you know?
And just to bring it back to manifesting and visualizing your language, this is something I think that is really, really useful. Like you said, if you know the reason you need the language, and maybe you don't, maybe it's just a hobby, maybe you're just having fun, but even still, that's a reason you want to be able to talk about your own life. Those are the things that you want to attract into your language life, is experiences and content surrounding those things, because that's how you're going to get it, is by going out to those sources.
And I mean, generally, when you speak about things that you're interested in. So that, comes full circle to what shows about topics that you're interested in your target language. Because then that's how you learn to speak about that.
And it makes a it really, really makes a huge difference, even just taking in the content. And of course there's whole theories, on comprehensible input and stuff, but reading for me, I learn a lot of vocabulary through reading. I love reading and I like being able to see how something is spelled. Another reason why French escapes me right now, I'm terrified of it. But being able to read in Italian and see words, I'm reading a book right now that's all about meditation and changing your mindset and Buddhism, and it's really fascinating, but it's a lot of the same vocabulary over and over surrounding this topic that I
Yes.
enjoy talking about. So now that I've seen the words on the page, I can go talk to my Italian tutor, who's the one who recommended it to me, and we have conversations about it, and I can literally envision the word that I want to use and utilize it. But it's not,
Yes.
in one sense, one can say that I have manifested this type of conversation into my life by taking in the content and then turning around and using it. And someone practical
Yes.
might just say, well, yes, of course, this is how you learn a language. This is how you put it into practice. But it works. Whatever someone wants to call it, it works.
People who are practical for some reason don't like the word manifesting. Why? There's no logic to the word, really.
I don't know. Well, I mean, for some people, it's because a lot of time manifesting, you talk about the universe, and some people say no, it's God, but it all goes together. If you believe in any sort of higher power or energy or creator, whatever one believes in, we believe that that thing brings us the things into our life, that that thing helps to manage the details of our
I
lives.
tend to say whatever works for you is good. If for some reason you don't believe in God or the universe, or you really think that there's nothing out there, at the very least, I think you believe in your own subconscious. I think it's very strongly like demonstrated that the subconscious exists, right? So yeah,
Believe
like
in yourself.
you can be just yourself. I do think that you get something more if you believe in a power greater than you, because it's very easy to feel small and not very powerful. But if you don't, it can still work this way.
And even if you do believe in just yourself, you don't believe in anything else. You still, I think that's really, really powerful. I've said several times on the show to trust your intuition. You know when a tool isn't right for you. You know when a teacher isn't right for you. You feel it. And if you trust that, you're going to take the actions necessary to remove whatever isn't working from your life and guide yourself, seek out the things that are going to work for you. So even if you don't believe in any of that, you do believe in yourself and you know what you want and you trust that, it's going to lead you to the path that's right for getting the language.
Yes, this is a great point. It's actually much more important to trust your intuition than to work harder, because you can be with the tool that doesn't work for you, or the teacher just doesn't work for you. Like, there's really definitely a teacher-student fit. Like, I feel it even being a teacher or a coach myself. There's a fit that has to exist. Like, if you feel like I'm the right person for you, then I'm probably am. If you feel like, oh no, I hate this guy, I just don't like how he talks, you're probably not at this point in the podcast because it's been a while, but still, then no, like, find someone else. Like, it's okay. I know I'm not the person for everyone. And it's much more important to do that and trust the tool, the person, the whatever thing you're using, and feel that, okay, it works this way, than it is to have something that maybe is not a great fit, but just work harder because you think that if you work harder, you're going to make it through. Maybe you will, but it will take longer, it will be less enjoyable, and maybe you'll be stuck. And maybe you will develop new mental blocks of like, oh my God, I can't do that. Well, it's just that you just don't have the right tool or the right person.
Or you start creating negative associations with the language because you're working really hard and not seeing results, or you're working really hard and not getting where you want to be. And then we start, all of us have probably experienced this where you have some time where you're like, oh my gosh, I hate this language. Why does it have to be this way? Why does German need these cases? And why does Italian need the subjunctive? And but if we fester, if we let those negative feelings of the language fester, it blocks us. It's another block that we've now put into place.
And then you will re because every thought that you have reinforces some thought path or like some neural pathway in your brain. So you ideally don't want to feed the pathways that are not conducive. There's this story of like every person has a good wolf and a bad wolf that fight constantly in them, and like, okay, which one is stronger? Well, the one you feed, right? So yeah, ideally you want to feed the pathways that will say that you're competent, that things are easy, or maybe not easy, but not completely impossible,
They're
right?
possible. They're possible. I love that. That fits so perfectly into the message that I hope that I'm creating with this show anyway, is one, belief in yourself, and two, just like realizing that The negative feelings that we have had about our languages and the limiting beliefs that we do have are normal, but that doesn't mean
Yes.
that they define us, and that doesn't mean that they are real. We believe, if we believe they're real, they are, but there's an alternate reality where those things actually aren't true, and we are learning our languages and we are moving forward.
Sometimes even in this reality, we don't realize that we're actually competent because we
Yeah.
believe we're not. Like,
Yeah.
we'll circle again. So yeah, like there's really always a gap between reality and your belief. And sometimes your belief will actually stop you from seeing reality, even if it is there, and for bringing it about if it's not there yet. So just, check your beliefs just to be sure that they're not in your way.
Check your beliefs. Oh my gosh, that is absolutely brilliant. That is really, really, really powerful.
Don't take them for granted. They could be lying to you.
Absolutely. That's true too. T check them, note them, and
Yeah.
ask yourself, really, is this true? And if you do believe it's true, is it what you want? If not, there are ways to, like you said, change those pathways into things that are believable, tiny steps at a time, and you can change the negative thoughts into positive ones.
Yes.
So, Angel, I can't
Great.
pronounce it.
You're good at it.
Angel, Angel, Angel. Where would our listeners be able to find you if they're looking for specifically French content, French coaching, French teaching, manifesting French fluency specifically? But also, you have other platforms where you just talk about languages in general and
Yes.
also life in general and creating those positive experiences for yourself. Where can our listeners find you?
So my website is frenchfluency.net. And you can find me on pretty much all of social media with the handle at French Fluency. My name is Angèle Préto. So if you type that in Google, you'll find lots of things that I have made, my website, my YouTube, my Instagram, all of them have the same at French Fluency handle. And if you are looking into getting a coach to help you with learning French, you can always book an application call with me. You will find all of the information about my program on the website, but if you want to go straight to booking a call, it's frenchfluency.net/call. You'll just get access to my calendar. It's always open unless I am booked out, which is not that frequent. But you get a message like, "Hey, sorry, we're booked out. Just subscribe for the emails instead, and we'll t let you know when there are more spaces." But yeah.
And I will say too, even if you're not learning French, or if you don't have a desire to learn French, sign up for Angèle. I'm going to keep trying to say it. Sign up for Angèle's email list, because you have some really good information that is applicable to any language, not just French specifically.
Pretty much 80% of what I've ever said is applicable to every language.
Absolutely.
Also on my YouTube channel, except for the Thinking in French meditation, which has a part that's in French. All of the other meditations are all in English. So if you want to just substitute French for whichever other language that you're learning, that will work as well. So yeah, definitely. You can go to YouTube and subscribe to my channel, and anything that's not specifically like French pronunciation or French false friends or French whatever, then you can apply that to your language. Like
Excellent.
the 4-step method, selection, activation, immersion, safe practice, that works for every language.
Definitely. I'll put that link in the show notes as well, and probably some links to other podcasts and stuff that you've been on where you talk
Yes,
about
thank you.
that in particular. Thank you again so much for being here. It has been an absolute pleasure for me. I've learned a lot and have a lot to go out and think about today myself, and I hope all of our listeners have enjoyed it as well.
Thank you for having me. This was a great conversation. Thank you.